It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and the studio with me is Michael Badnarik, 2004 Libertarian nominee for President of these United States. And what does he do to keep himself busy? He's going around the country teaching his Constitution preservation class. You know, we've had him on the show a lot. He's got, you know, and finally he comes down to visit with us, say hello. And you've been here just a couple of days. I mean, and this is how it is every day. This is the crap that's going on here all the time. It's us versus the man. It's the youngins down here making T-shirts. You see them over there. They're making signs over there. They're taking them going out. They're facing up against the man and getting videotape of it. So this is every day, man.
I'll come back anytime you need me. Because when you say people are up in arms, they are up in arms. I love it.
Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, we can go shooting tomorrow. We have a very nice world-class shooting range. That's Arizona State Game and Fish. You know, North Phoenix up here. It is high quality, run by the government. Ooh, how'd that happen? That's a long story. So what we're going to do is I want to get your thoughts on this. But, I mean, let's just, you know, highlight this. One, you know, we have this federalization of local law enforcement. You know, they're going to be, that's how this is going to be done. So this fusion center homeland security thing. You think Janet Napolitano being our governor, her going to be the head of homeland security, that she wasn't kind of in? You know what I mean? You know, she was, a lot of people don't know, in the late 90s, she was assistant U.S. attorney under Janet Reno and Clinton, and was one of the prosecutors, one of the main prosecutor on the Viper militia that was here, you know, which we knew was all crap. You know, they just keep making this stuff up as they go along. Then they say, you know, this transfer of ID, it's not really national ID. It's not national ID. It doesn't require that the information goes. We just put in the law that you can't prevent it. Oh, well, then that's different, you know. So you just want to slap them. Then they go, yeah, but it's not real ID. We don't have anything to do with the 2005 real ID thing because they already had it. It's called, you know, Arizona became part of this Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative thing. It was already there. So I'm going, you know, just such liars, you know. And then they indemnify law enforcement. They go, you are not held responsible. And he made it clear in the first two sentences of this, you know, the intent is to make this act through enforcement.
Cooperative enforcement, yes.
Enforcement by attrition. Well, they have cooperative enforcement, and then they say the intent of this act is to make attrition through enforcement, okay, a public policy. So we're going to have cooperative enforcement, which is federalizing local law enforcement, and we're going to use harassment as the policy. People wonder, they go, well, how did Nazi Germany come about? I'm reading it! It's right freaking not somewhere else. It's right here. You know, this is how it happened. You want to know where? Here it is. You know, fast forward, you know, 6 years, you know, 6 months from now, this is it. Here you go. You know, Ernie said, you know. Then they do the papers, please thing. They say, you are presumed to be a legal resident if you show us your ID. If you are able to produce a driver's license, a non-operational state ID license, or whatever you call it, looks like a driver's license, is a non-operational ID card.
Just state ID card, yeah.
And then you have, what was the other one? It was a green card, or there was
card
a third.
From the reservation.
Oh, yeah, you're a tribal guy, all right? So these are the four things. If you show them that, well, then we can presume then that you're not illegal. What do you think that means? That means you better have your papers on you. Then they indemnify them. If they do, once they, if it's under an immigration stop or immigration inquiry or immigrant, you don't have, you know, you can't sue them for nothing because they went through this before and they had a lot of problems with it. Then you can sue as an Arizona, any legal Arizona resident can sue any level of government for $500 to $5,000 a day if they're not enforcing this policy. But it's not funded to a local municipality. That means that these small towns and so on, they're not going to be doing anything else. So I'm just going, you know, how bad does it have to get? So, being from Texas, I'm sure you heard about this law. I'm sure it was all the rage. Did you have any idea all this stuff was in there?
No, none. I mean, I've been saying, well, I haven't heard about it, haven't read about it. Now within the last 2 hours, I am like steadfast against it. The thing that comes to mind is resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. We're going to suck you in. You're going to be part of this big nationalist North American Union. It's like over your dead body.
Now, what happens when you have we're going into Iraq and Iran and we're doing all this, Afghanistan, and you have all of the drum beats, you know, for war. I mean, the war drums are going, man. They're playing Wipeout. All right, here we go. Okay, I mean, it's rock and roll and whatnot. And what happens is you go, where do you inject some truth in that? Where do you get some? Who's reporting on anything? You know where we got a lot of the information, especially early on, was going on in Afghanistan? From Pravda.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Russia. Because they've been through this. They already knew. Heck, they knew that valley. They've been reporting on that for decades.
Been there, done there. Got the T-shirt.
Yeah, they already had that going on, you know. So they're going, oh, this empire's going there to die now. That's good, you know. So this is, yeah, it's America's Vietnam without the humidity. You know, they were all over this thing. So we would get a lot of information from there. And then Al Jazeera. They were, you know, having different things. Well, of course, we'd put, you know, whatever U.S. said, and then you can pick out whichever one's telling the truth. And then as time goes on, which one would get more credibility? Which one would be more accurate over time? Well, then you're kind of going, you know, maybe I'll just go over to Providence and see what the heck's going on. And it was, you know, by doing that, we just shotgunned the news. Everybody, you know, let's see what they all got to say, and you'll kind of find some truth in there somewhere. Then you had antiwar.com. They had some good stuff. Lou Rockwell would have some stuff. We have some guys that were experts in it. We'd interview a lot of people that, you know, even, you know, lived over there. So we would actually do our best to get the truth. But we knew from the beginning that, you know, this was not about what they were saying it was. So what do we have here? Well, there's international press all over down here. Andrea is talking to Al Jazeera Radio. Al Jazeera.
Here in Phoenix.
Yeah. No, yeah. She's going to bring him in the studio tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
So they're going, you know, well, you're the only ones that seem to know what the heck's going on because they read the law. They understand. They're going, yeah, this is an ID thing. They go, we recognize this. We've been through these stages in the Middle East all the time. There's always some regime wanting to, you know, make sure they got a tab on us. So what do I do? Do I get the NSA? They gonna come visit me?
Ooh, I don't know.
You know, am I gonna get me some law enforcement? Sheriff Joe's gonna come visit with me. I know Sheriff Joe. Come on, Sheriff. You know you want me, man. I go, you know, come down here. You're a traitor, man. You're talking to foreign press. You're gonna tell them. They're gonna report internationally that this is what the, you know. Just take out that one paragraph. You know, just one thing about, you know, yeah, you can't prevent the transfer of this data. Well, they go, well, there's some groups out here concerned about this being national ID there. They're concerned about, you know, this federalization of local law enforcement. They're concerned about, you know, all the stuff that we're complaining about here and that the U.S. is saying they're coming over here to stop, but they're doing over there. So, I mean, you see the hypocrisy of this? This gets out. Am I the traitor? Am I the bad guy? Am I? Russell Pierce says I am. When we did this, when we first started bringing up all this stuff out, when it first went, it was going for a vote in the House. And they stopped the vote and put it off for 3-4 weeks. They were like a big, this is when it really started. They thought they had it done. They were going to vote it on that day. And when we put this out, and I sent out an email to a bunch of, you know, politicals that I know, a bunch of, you know, even law enforcement, you know, politicians and a lot of people, you know, databases that I have that's on Freedoms Phoenix, but I also can do emails to, you know, a small group of them and all the media. And I said, look, this is what's really going on. They stopped it. They go, well, wait a minute. Let's take a look at this. When they did that, Russell Pierce, on his Senate letterhead, sent out an email, blasted it all across the planet, saying, what I did was an act of domestic terrorism.
Ooh.
I know. I went to Liberty Forum with that little shiny badge on. So I'm going, you know, so what did we do? One of my attorneys, well, he's the attorney for the Arizona Libertarian Party. He's also the state chair. Well, he's an attorney in East Valley, and he goes, you know, we're going to send him a little note. And we go, we want an ethics investigation. You just don't go slinging around calling somebody domestic terrorist. You better got something. Oh, well, what is this? Is this an act of quelling legal, accurate political speech from a publisher of an online news magazine and a talk show host? How many boxes do you want to check here, Russell? They don't want to play anymore, okay? That's how bad it is here.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Oh, were you being distracted? Well, we got to get you unplugged. Take the red pill. You know, Michael, you've been going around the country, you know, dishing out red pills. And and I'm wondering, you know, what kind of success are you having?
I have really, really wonderful success. Anybody who takes my class, they're out of the system. There's no way that they're going to be. I tell my students that my class is political penicillin. You know, it basically immunizes you against socialism and communism, you know, because it's really simple.
You know, you said last night we had a little party and some of the guys came and we just, you know, kind of hung out and had potluck and it was an excuse to get my wife to make her cheese enchiladas, which is very good. So what we were doing, we were hanging out and you spoke for a little while. Everybody was glad to give you the time and have you learnify them. And one thing that you said that really hit home. I've been talking on the show a little bit about my first grandchild. I have a granddaughter. She's 11 months. I have a grandson coming next month. And, you know, yeah, we used to not know until they were born back in the day. Now that's like its own little special day now. Everybody's got to find out what the sex is. But anyway, so you have my granddaughter, and at 11 months, she's starting to develop this really good concept of mine. You know, mine. And your whole thing was it's all about property, you know, property rights and so on. And you're going, the first thing in the Communist Manifesto was
abolish private property.
That's what they have to do in order to have the state control. And they're doing it. They're saying they're not. I mean, you know, but that's what they're really doing.
Yeah, we've got asset forfeiture. They find a marijuana cigarette under the car. They take the car. Sell it for 10 cents on the dollar, and then keep the money. We've got, in 2005, Kelo versus New London, the Supreme Court of the United States said, we can take your property, give it to somebody else if they're going to be paying more in taxes on the property. I had about 24 phone calls from across the country. I mean, to me, they were anonymous phone calls. Guy calls from Hawaii. Hi, this is John from Hawaii.
Hey, John, how you doing, John?
I don't know any John from Hawaii, so to me, they're going, Michael, they can't do that, can they? Well, these people are not calling me because they think they can. You know, these people are just, I mean, they're awake. They're going, government can't take my property away. That's got to be wrong. And so they all want to call Michael to stepfather Constitution. They want to get my okie-dokie on it to go, yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I get that, too, a lot. And that's where... You know, because they can thing came in. It's kind of a short, because they can. I mean, you know, seriously. I mean, you want to have how long a conversation you want to have. You know, it comes down to because they got bigger guns. You know, so once you come to that realization, then you start, are we going to defeat them with guns? Is it going to be a head-to-head thing? I mean.
No. There's probably going to be gun play. The Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. I don't think we can get through without bloodshed. But it's an ideological shift. We've got to get the people to take the red pill. Get out of the system. Wake up. And that's why this program is so wonderful. You do a great job of getting people to wake up and give them the information. I mean, I don't know how anybody could listen to this and not get it.
Well, they just don't like it.
I know they don't like it.
They'll go, no, you know. So I'm going, all right, well, bring it on. You know, I have, you know, that's one thing that I do, Michael, is that I really enjoy, I get a lot of feeds, you know, from different PR departments, you know, promote our guy's book and, you know, how to have longer, better Uber sex or something and how to, you know, I get, you know, tons of stuff. And you just kind of, yeah, next. And every now and then you get, you know, a lot of political stuff, like the gentleman, the young man that was part of the Bravo company in the collateral murders that they've done on WikiLeaks in Iraq. And so, and then you have, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. I go, yeah, this guy that I give to the producer, and I say, you know, I want this person, put this person in this, you know, that kind of thing. And they take care of it and give me the information. We do a good interview. But, you know, I don't pick the people that agree with me. All right, sometimes I just want to get information. You know, here's soldier that's over there. You know, you want to get that kind of stuff. But a lot of times I'll have, like, we had this one guy on the morning show. He's from Indonesia. 240 million people there. In a landmass, smaller than Arizona. I mean, you know, it's just an enormous amount of people there. They're the largest concentration of Muslims. They have all kinds of whatever problems, but they are, because there was a economics professor in Boston that I interviewed on some time. He wanted more government controls on Wall Street. And I'm like, you know, as long as you keep taking my money and creating these big giant buckets of money, they're going to get it one way or another. I don't know. There's no way you're going to say, you know, this bucket of money over here, you're not allowed to have it. You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. You know, so I'm just, stop taking my money. Does that ever occur to you guys?
Stop printing my money.
No, that's another one. You know, so let me go ahead and finish this one point. So he's like, I know libertarians. I'll give you a libertarian. So he sends me this guy from Indonesia. Well, it's Liberty for All Foundation. So it's LIB4All.org out of Indonesia. And I could tell immediately what they're doing. They just want to get a more efficient, you know, promise liberty, the promise of government. And then the reality kind of keeps getting further and further away from it as time goes on, and you have a revolution. But at first, you can get people to buy into this. We're here to give you American democracy, American freedom, American property right, blah, 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 blah. Why? And I said, let me tell you what I know. I'll guarantee you one of your biggest supporters is going to be some oil company, isn't it? You know, so, who is it? Come on, tell me. Is it British Petroleum, Exxon, Texaco? And he goes, Chevron. Because they just want to get you on the plantation so that they can get it all stable so they can take your goodies. And I'm going, you know, they have 17,508 islands. I go, what happens if it goes to 17,507? Can there be one little island that says, nah, we're good over here? Nope, here comes the helicopters, gunships. And I'm going, are you really about freedom? Are you really about, are you going to offer, you know, whoever wants to go, you guys work it out on you? No, heck no. It's just, it's like delayed tyranny. You know, it's like my kids when they save up to buy a motorcycle or something. That's not savings. That's delayed spending, you know? So I'm just going, I can see what they're doing. So then my producer says, yeah, we need to get you on the afternoon show. They go, the person that was scheduling, they said, you know, that was an epic show. But it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture to have them go on again, you know? So I'm going, you know, so I don't get people that agree with me. I want to have, you know, we learn. I'm nice to them. Yeah. But I'm telling you, man, So where do you get most of your fire from? Is everybody agreeing with you? Or do you like, you know, like getting that one guy to argue with?
Oh, I love to argue. I mean, and I'm good at it because I can figure out, you know, where the source of the confusion, their contradiction. I had a young lady, I was running for president, went to the Illinois State Convention. Friday night before the convention, we've got the social hour, beer, pretzels, and everybody just kind of showing up and, you know, shaking hands. No big politics thing. And I had a college-age girl come up and go, you know, communism is good in theory. It just doesn't work in practice.
There's a difference?
I don't know what happened. It was kind of one, slowly I turned, step by step. And no exaggeration, 20 minutes later, she was sitting in an overstuffed chair, hands are literally in the air going, I give up, communism is evil in theory. Well, it's evil in theory because there is no private property. You know, who owns your body? Well, everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. That's got to be a ridiculous question, right? Who owns your body? Of course I own my body. Oh, really? You own your body? So then you decide what you eat. You decide what you drink. And, okay, now explain prohibition. How did Congress pass the 18th Amendment to my Constitution saying that adult Americans were not allowed to drink alcohol? Where did they get the authority to tell me what I can or cannot drink?
Heck, they don't even bother with amendments anymore.
I know they don't. It's like it's my property. If I want to drink alcohol, I will. If I want to drink turpentine, that's up to me. The government doesn't tell me what I can or cannot drink. Okay, well, we've got rid of prohibition. Well, all right. How about Obamacare? You're going to come up with mandatory vaccinations? What, you're going to show up at my door with a doctor and a sheriff, and you're going to tell me to roll up my sleeve? My answer, you bring the syringe, I'll bring my 45, and we'll see who makes a bigger hole.
You know, and this, and you say these kind of things, and they're going, oh, you're being kind of, well, you know, you really got to have a line in the sand somewhere. I mean, what is your line? And I'm, you know, I get calls and they'll say, Ernie, when they come for your guns, you'll just turn them over like anybody else. And I go, eh, probably. You know, I mean, you know, assuming that's all that I have, you know, and I'm not going to fight their battle right then on their turf when they're ready with their helicopters. You know, once they start doing the door-to-door gun confiscation, they pull the trigger. It just might go off later. You know, I'm going, you know what? I'm not stupid. You know, come on. But we're going to talk about the unfolding of the revolution when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Michael Badnarik. Oh, and you don't need a government form.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
It is a wonderful world. No matter how bad it gets or how, you know, on a rant we go, you know, Michael and I both, you know, we see the beauty in this life. And that's one of the reasons and motivations why we do it. It's, you know, it's just so many good people that we come in contact with and so many good things that we see being done by people under the most adverse conditions. And I'll tell you the most satisfying thing for me, and I know Michael probably shares a lot of this, is that you'll someone that's out there been fighting for their freedom. They've been fighting for what they knew was right. Every single government authority, they thought that was what they were taught in junior high. That's how you did it. You appealed to your government. You petitioned for redress. You did. And then, of course, you get called domestic terrorist. But you go and you say, I want you to know about this injustice that I have. They're doing this. They shouldn't be, you know, yada, yada. And you get beaten back at every step. And if you don't understand the true nature of government, you're disillusioned to the point that you become depressed and you're filled with despair. When you have someone that listens to this show or they become exposed to a presidential candidate like Michael Badnarik, and he just spends a little bit of time with them, he talks to him at an event, he does his Constitution preservation class, all of a sudden they're just like, I'm not alone. That's the first thing. The second thing is that they're going, well, I'm not crazy. And the third thing is that, you know, it's an enormous burden lifted off of their soul, and they can start enjoying the fact that they're just human beings. That's not asking for anything unreasonable. And then they start to realize they're not the problem. something else is. There's something else out there that's the problem. They just haven't been able to articulate it. Michael articulates it. So I'm just, you know, articulate for the audience, Michael. What's the problem?
Well, I think when we went to the national convention in St. Louis, your statements basically were, stop being afraid. And that is a concept. I was running for president. I was in New Mexico, and I gave a little fundraiser. Well, they only had like six people at this fundraiser, and frankly, it's a little hard for me to generate my enthusiasm for half a dozen people. But there was one guy there, and I was talking about most of what the government does is unconstitutional, yada, yada. And a woman says, like, aren't you afraid? I mean, if you keep talking like this, you know, isn't the government going to come and kill you? And my response was, well, they can kill me, but they can't scare me. Well, the next day I had a guy that was at the fundraiser come up. He had made a bumper sticker and said, dear government, you can kill me, but you can't scare me. For years, he had avoided going to meetings. He didn't want to go to meetings because the FBI is taking license plate numbers and they're going to get me on a list and I'm not going to be on an email and all that stuff. And he was walking around outside. He was the last one to come into my fundraiser. He only came because he figured if there are only six people there, probably no FBI agents to put my name down on a list. And he realized that if you're afraid, you don't do anything, the other guys already win.
Yep.
They've already won because you're not up there defending yourself. So if we can get everybody to take the red pill, get everybody to understand the importance of private property, get everybody to understand that the government is not on your side, that this is all national ID, and get people standing up for themselves, then we don't have to be afraid. The government will start to change because the vast majority of people will understand the truth.
You know, the don't be afraid thing, I tell you a good example of that was the Five Monkeys video. You know, I showed you that last night. You know, we had it. We're putting on a disc that we're doing for, you know, Liberty on Tour bus going to colleges and so on. And we have a bunch of different things that we're putting on there. And it's kind of a, you know, anarchist video. I mean, it's one of those, hey, man, I didn't sign this document. I don't know what you're talking about. So it's so it kind of has that impact. And with these young minds, it's going to plant a seed that's going to have a big impact. But the Five Monkeys thing, it's just a video that if you put in the YouTube Five Monkeys, it's all about, you put these five monkeys in a cage, you have, sooner or later, one of them's going to climb this flight of stairs or ladder to this banana that's hanging over the cage. Well, whenever they do that, you just spray them all with cold water. Well, after a while, they're like, hey, man, I don't want a banana that bad, you know, so they just stop. Well, you take out one of the monkeys, you put a new one in, and they do it. And, of course, all the other monkeys freak out and beat them up and everything. And you keep rotating the monkeys out until you get to the point that none of the monkeys had ever even been sprayed with cold water. They just know that if you go try and get the banana, you're going to get the crap beat out of you. Well, the point is that they're using it. I said, well, that's just how it's done now. They've ingrained so much fear generationally in this culture that you don't even remember why it was a law. And it's so counter to what they say it was about. You know the drug war is causing more problems than it's solving, but you support it anyway. Why? Why? Based on what? So, but crime would run rampant. People would have fun, damn it, you know, or do drugs or be bad. Who cares? You know, it's not your problem. So I can see this kind of information coming out. But, you know, you have these people coming up to you and they're filled with fear more than anger, you think? Or
yes. Yeah, I really do think that it's mostly fear. They want to conform. You know, you don't want to be outside. Well, I gave my speech at the convention in St. Louis, and I had people coming out in the hallway, and they're whispering to me. Oh, I thought you did a really good speech. You know, I'd like, why are you whispering? If you think I did a good speech, why don't you just say that out loud? Well, you don't want to be labeled with the bad boys.
Well, you know, I'll tell you why. Let me tell you what was going on. Michael Badnarik was one of the featured speakers. He was, presidential nominee in 2004. So he gets up there and he says, let me give you an obituary of the Libertarian Party. So they're going, okay, you know. So and it was, and the reason, and a lot of us understood exactly what you were talking about, you know, why you did this. And I wasn't there for the actual speech, you know. I didn't hear it till later, but read it. And they were like, Ernie, man, you got to go listen to it. I didn't even know you were speaking. You know, so that was busy with stuff. And they go, you got it. Oh, Michael, man, he done ripped them up. And what you had a lot of support from people that, even as libertarians in there supporting it, oh, that was really good.
That is really good. But I don't want to be, I don't want anybody to know that I'm supporting you because then they'll be mad at me too.
Yeah. You know, so what was the response from the other side?
There's been no response from the other side.
You know, I was running for national chair at that convention, and Michael was one of the nominating speeches, and everybody gave a nominating speech for it. It was great. And of course, I got three words, but you know, everybody, it was really, really enjoyable, inspiring, you know, presentation that we gave. And the people were just pumped up. Now, of course, I didn't win, but I didn't get the most votes. We went there to win. I mean, we wanted to win something else. We wanted an understanding. We wanted no fear. We wanted them to know that, you know, this path that they're on, this, you know, to be ingratiated with the system is not the path. That is because after the 08 convention where they had Bob Barr became the nominee, they flooded these conservatives, these Republicans that have had it so fed up with the Republican Party and saw them as so corrupt. They're going, oh, this is bad. We need to go over and fix the Libertarian Party. And all the Libertarians are going, oh, you guys are killing us. You know, this conservative thing. We're like, you know, you guys don't understand. The Libertarian Party is nothing more than a tool for us.
And they fixed the Libertarian Party the same way that you fix your dog or your cat.
They neutered it. Yeah, damn Skippy. You know, they said, give me a hand of them testicles. We're going to take care of them for you. You know, and we understood it. And a lot of times, certainly since since your campaign, you know, the internet really started hitting, and Dr. Paul's, it made it very clear that we don't need this political thing as much as we used to.
No.
To spread these ideas, it's like you going out and giving your constitutional class. Well, tell us about, you're doing that Saturday here. Tell us what's going on.
From 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., we're going to talk about the fundamentals of the Constitution, why it was written. We'll go through each of the articles, and you will be smarter than anybody on the Supreme Court, especially Sotomayor right now. And, But we'll talk about the Bill of Rights, and then afterwards we'll go someplace and have dinner. You can ask all your questions. I can answer questions about the Constitution longer than you can ask. It's $100 or 4 ounces of silver. You can sign up at my website, constitutionpreservation.org.
And where is it going to be in the Valley here?
It's going to be at the hotel, which is listed on my website.
Yeah, go to the webpage. It's here in Phoenix.
I think it's the Radisson Hotel, but I've got like 8 or 9 classes that I'm
And you know, if you're in the Valley and you're supportive of, and it's going to be a fundraiser for Barry Hess running for governor as libertarian here, and Michael Badnarik's going to be the draw along with Barry. You know, at my home, we had a big party last Friday when Gary Franchi was here. So we go, reboot. It was all potluck. Bring your own stuff, man. Make sure, you know what? I vacillate between Amber Bach, Guinness, and Heineken. So y'all feel free to bring a six-pack of all of them. You know? and we'll have fun. We had a lot of fun. I tell you, Gary started getting some drinking going on, and somebody gave him a megaphone. I'm like, party's over. My neighbors are going to call the cops, and we're so in trouble. We don't want to involve the law. So maybe it won't be that bad. So it's been great to have you come by, you know, Michael. I've really enjoyed you spending time with us here. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.